The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but during this nutty election year, you have no idea anymore who to trust. And can God even help us with that? Which candidate tells the truth? Which one lies? Which political philosophy will keep our country safe and free? Which one, on the other hand, will erode our stars and stripes forever, leaving in its place a totalitarian state? Well, folks, be of good cheer. As always, your old pal Bob is going to help you navigate through these turbulent waters in our tradition of making the obvious obvious. Five candidates are still in the race for the White House, two Democrats and three Republicans. We've seen them in the debates. We've seen them on news shows. Now, let us watch the most compelling test of all. How would our presidential hopefuls perform while sitting around a table playing Parker Brothers' famous Monopoly game? That's right. Exclusive to the Bob Siegel Show, we have Monopoly Special Election 2016 Edition. I'm going to start out talking like one of those golf announcers, the announcers that don't talk too flamboyantly. When we first join our heroes, I don't think I can do that the whole show, but I'll start that way. Golf Monopoly. When we first join our heroes, Donald Trump insists on rolling the dice first, since he has the biggest hands. John Kasich says he has no problem with Trump going first. In fact, Kasich is quite used to not being first in a contest and hints that should he place third in the game, he may still declare himself to be the winner. Still, Kasich's main reason for allowing Trump's opening role is to simply be a gentleman. After all, Kasich is the nicer player, the one who stays away from the mudslinging. Everybody watching the game believes Kasich's claim about being the nicest, and they believe it for a very good reason. He keeps telling us how nice he is. But then, later on, when it starts looking like Trump might win, Kasich doesn't sound quite as friendly anymore. Instead, he warns the other players not to make a deal with Trump. He reminds them that Trump always gets the better end of a deal. Trump disagrees and promises that if the other players treat him fair, he'll stay in the game instead of abandoning this table, heading across the room, starting a new game of Risk, and conquering the world by complimenting Vladimir Putin. But Kasich is not one to be fooled. If you want to know what kind of a deal Donald Trump will offer during Monopoly, just look at his previous deals out in the real world before he even started this game. I'm telling you, Maria, Donald Trump could sell you a new car without brakes and then later on sell you the brakes. Trump swiftly defends himself. John here is simply confessing his ignorance. He doesn't understand the art of the deal. The brake-free car was merely a starting negotiating position. I always intended to discuss brakes later on. Any customer who wanted brakes installed immediately should have ordered the deluxe model. Later on, as the game moves forward, Kasich seems to be vindicated when other players witness for themselves a real, honest-to-goodness Donald Trump Monopoly trade. Trump offers Hillary the deal to end all deals. I see you own both Boardwalk and Park Place, Mrs. Clinton. If you give them to me, here's what I'll do for you. I will trade you the Waterworks. Oh, wait. There's more, much more. Just to show you that my heart is in the right place, I'll also throw in this get out of jail free card. Hillary jumps at the deal. Although she knows President Obama already promised her a get out of jail free card, it never pays to take chances. Besides, if she ends up with two, the extra card can be used to keep some future vandal out of jail. In the event that the violence was done while stopping a conservative from speaking at a college campus. By catering to such constituents, Hillary hopes to be guaranteed a more promising trade. Later on in the game, a trade that enables her to build a house on none other than Pennsylvania Avenue. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz, the constitutional conservative, points out that the time-honored tradition of putting money in the middle of the board for luxury tax, only to later reward that money to whomever lands on free parking, is not a genuine rule and can be found nowheres in the original Parker Brothers instructions. Loving tradition more than law, the other players ignore Cruz until good old Bernie awakens from his nap upon hearing the word free and promptly suggests that free parking should be changed to free tuition. But this is only the beginning of Bernie's ambitious contribution. He also insists that the winner must repent of his evil capitalistic greed, pony up, and distribute his income evenly to all the losers. That way nobody is a loser and everybody is a winner. This ends today's game of Monopoly. Unfortunately, the game called politics continues. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. As you know, oftentimes I'm joined by a co-host. We have several, a lot of good rotating co-hosts, but only one co-host that I get to go home with when the show is over. Say hello to my lovely wife, Dana Siegel.
Hello. It's great to be here again.
Not too great for you. You're not feeling too well right now.
I had the weirdest thing out. As soon as we got out of the car here at the station, I sneezed. And my back went strange. Now, I have no idea what's going on.
If that sounds unusual, I saw that once on the Dick Van Dyke Show where Rob Petrie sneezed and threw out his back. So if it was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, you can take that to the bank.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange feeling, but
well,
I'm good.
Fortunately, I'm on a radio show, you don't have to do gymnastics or anything.
That's right. I can just sit but here I know and not
that
move.
I do know this is not easy for you, and I appreciate it. And I told you that if you didn't feel well enough to come on, you didn't have to, right?
Yeah, but
let our audience know what a caring husband I am, that you're more important to me than the radio show.
That is absolutely true.
But I'm still glad you decided to.
Thank you. Because I have a couple of important things as we get going. The first part is kind of silly, but toward the end, I have some important things and I do not want to miss doing that. So,
well, very good. I'm glad you're here.
But I do want to talk about the Monopoly thing.
Okay.
Those of you that shop at Albertsons or Safeway's,
segueing off
Vons,
of our political Monopoly more authentic Monopoly game.
Yes, because I love Monopoly. I love board games. And Bob is very clever in how he used that game to structure his article about the political scene lately. But at these stores, and there are many of them listed on the Monopoly game, several stores are participating in it.
And for us, it's been Albertsons.
For us, Albertsons, yes. And it's been really an interesting thing. And I thought maybe some of our listeners would get a kick out of just hearing some of our experiences that we've had with it. But we have, I've been collecting them now for a while. It started in February. There's only like 3 more days left and it's over. You have to have your board in very soon if you've won. But what is curious to me is that my youngest daughter, who's up at UC Santa Barbara, has been playing as well.
And you're both getting the same darn
pieces. And we're getting the exact same pieces. And she and I both have our entire board filled, all of the different spaces, with everyone except one on each one of the spaces on the game board. And then on the specialty ones, we have all but two. And so it's like there's a method to what they're doing here, I'm certain.
Now tell our audience some of the different prizes, from the little ones to the big grand prize.
Yeah, some of the little ones are like $25 in cash, which except I wouldn't say no to.
Well, yeah, nothing to sneeze at, although right now you don't want anything to sneeze at. Because
I surely don't, no.
But I'd be willing to settle for a free card for iTunes. We haven't won Jack Diddley Squad, and we're getting these things every day.
And we've been playing very faithfully. My daughter and I even went on a little mother-daughter getaway. We brought our game boards and all of our pieces. We swapped together and made sure we had them all. And both of our boards ended up being exactly the same. None of the extras. Neither one of us have won anything. And there's only a couple of more days. But I do have, they range from all different prizes and different things. And what is interesting is it says, like, for example, for the $25 cash prize, it says there are 10,000 prizes available just for that category.
Oh, you could have told me there were 2.5 and I'd have believed them.
It says 10,000. So where are all these people that are getting $25 in cash? I don't know. And then it ranges up to some pretty substantial prizes too, vacations and then bigger, like shopping trips, $1,000 gift cards for shopping at the Albertsons or spa treatments. And the big one that I've been going for is the beach house. There is a beach house
vacation
home.
Which everybody knows they're not going to really win, right?
But it says it's $500,000 and there are 3 of them available. So I think 3 people should be winning a beach house home.
But you said that last year nobody won the beach house.
Well,
you told me you had a theory as to why they managed to maneuver around that and keep it legal.
I do have a theory about that, and the reason I have that theory is because one day when I was looking at the Monopoly board a little more carefully, on the back, there's this little small part that shares with you some of the many winners in 2015, and they literally have named only 8 people from across the country. I thought, well, now wait a minute.
Some, but they tried to cover.
They said some of the many.
So probably there were probably 9 winners, but they say some, so that you'll think
they
maybe there's another 100.
Some, yes, and these were the bigger prizes. Like $10,000 jet ski was the lowest prize, up to a $500,000 winner. None of them were from California, And so my thought probably is because, you know, legally, if they do this, they have to,
give out
the pieces that they say, however many pieces they say they have to give them out.
Maybe whoever wanders in at midnight is going to lose it on the way home.
Yeah. And I know the clerks don't have any control over that. They don't know where they are. But I do have actually three clerks at our Albertsons that we shop at that I owe a weekend getaway at the beach house if we win. I've already promised them that.
Yeah. If we actually won that weekend beach, I'd be willing to give them 2 weekends getaways if we actually won the beach house,
which would be really cool. So,
yeah, anyway, and then we'll all go ice skating where hell froze over, because that'll happen too if we win that beach house.
Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking that probably all of those critical game pieces that you needed to fill in any one of these things, or the beach house, or the $1 million prize, there's actually $1 million cash prize as well. Those game pieces probably came out right at the very beginning when nobody was paying attention.
Nobody cared.
Didn't care then.
So if you're paying attention, everybody, next time Albertsons or some store does a game like this, go the first day, because that's probably when they're hoping nobody's paying attention, and then you might actually win that thing.
Yeah. So, and that's just my theory. That may be totally wrong. They may be spreading them out and sending them all over the country. And
it would be just our luck if somebody who hasn't been playing is listening to this radio show and they go to Albertsons tonight, yeah, and they win the beach house.
So if somebody in the listening audience has won, email Bob or call us and tell us, because I'll feel a lot better for all the time I've invested in this that somebody has won.
Albertson must appreciate the free advertising we're giving them right now, even though we're kind of calling into question their conduct.
No, I'm sure they're on the up and up, but I just thought I would win.
Dana's talking about this beach house, and every time I go through the check stand where I'm buying something, that, are you playing Monopoly? Well, my wife is. She thinks she's going to win the beach house. And, so they'll give me a few extras. But she was talking about how her daughter Rachel had a lot of the same pieces. What's interesting about this beach house is, how many did you get? You got like almost every one for the beach house except
two.
We're missing two. So her daughter Rachel, all the way in Santa Barbara, has every piece for the beach house. So,
except those two.
There's probably two for the beach house that they only make a couple of that they give out and get rid of right away. And then, but everyone else in the country probably gets tons and tons and tons for 90% of the beach house. Why? Because it keeps you shopping at Albertsons.
It does. And it is fun. And I will have to say, in appreciation to Albertsons and the other stores that do these things, in the last campaign that they had was the stamp collection, where you could earn cutlery and different things. And my daughter did earn a whole set of cutlery for her new apartment. So we are grateful to them for doing these fun little extra things while we shop.
Just the same, for all the shopping we've given them, we should have a beach house. By the way, this is a little bit related, a little bit unrelated. Speaking of prizes, I heard on the news that Cracker Jack, which I love, has made a major change. And I'm going, no, they didn't take the peanuts out. I love the peanuts. No, they've eliminated the prize.
Completely now.
I mean, when you're a little kid, but Cracker Jack was about getting that prize. Now, I will say this, for the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, they've been pretty dismal prizes anyway. It's usually made out of cardboard and it's some sticker.
When I
was a little kid, you know, back when you could, when I walked to school uphill both ways in the snow, when I was a little kid, you could get a whistle, you could get a magnifying glass, you could get a ring.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I still remember the line from I Love Lucy, where Lucy lost her wedding ring and Ethel and Lucy weren't getting along. She goes, "Don't worry, you'll always find another box at Cracker Jack." But that's almost like the end of an institution. The prizes may have been horrible the last few years, but there was still something. Cracker Jack without the prize, that's like a sailor without an ocean.
Okay.
That's like a radio talk show host without a wife who sneezed and threw out her back. That's what Cracker Jack without a prize is. Okay. All right. So have we done the Monopoly thing?
We are done with Monopoly, but I'm still hoping for that beach house.
We're not done playing.
Nope. I got three more days to win the beach house.
Even at this 11th hour, that beach house could come to ours.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah.
And then I would share it with our listening audience too. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yeah. And if you believe that I believe that I'm going to get that beach house, you also believe I'm going to vote for Bernie or Hillary in the election. Okay. There was a movie that we saw a couple of weeks ago that we really liked.
God Is Not Dead 2.
God Is Not Dead Part 2. I'm not a big fan of sequels, but this one, unlike your typical sequel, most of the characters from the other movie were not in this one. There were a few characters that were. So it was a very, different story. And how did you like that movie?
Well, the story was, yeah, it worked because it was a different story with a whole different twist to it. I enjoyed it because it was about education and being in the field of education. I could completely relate to the teacher and what she was going through. And
so why don't you tee up the story a little bit for our audience? We won't give away.
Are we giving it away? What are we?
Well, I don't believe in giving away the ending of a story, but anybody who's seen this movie just previewed understands mm-hmm. the premise. Let's tell them the premise, and we won't tell them how it ends. We won't give the ending away, but the premise of the story.
This high school teacher, history teacher, is asked a question in class about God as she's talking about Martin Luther King and just some of the premises that he had. Yes, and Gandhi.
Pacifists.
Right. And she answers the question using both what she knows and quotes two pieces of scripture that relate to it directly as literature and support of the historical situation. And ends up being
she actually mentions
she
mentions mm-hmm. Jesus as a historical figure too.
Yes.
And she does so because one of the female students actually raised her hand and said, wasn't Jesus also a little bit like Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi? And so even though the student asked her the question, she got in trouble for just answering a question in a history class.
Right. And so then it goes into the whole trial and everything that she had to go through, and it really, boy, it was eye-opening. And again, I could just really relate to her being in education, just having to walk that line where you have your own personal beliefs and you have to be in a public school system and be wise about, you know, what you say and don't say and so on. And so it is a tricky thing. And when kids ask you directly about things, you know, it is difficult. And I personally, Christian or not, I don't think she did anything that was out of line. She was actually very clearly historically backing up and supporting what the student had said.
And there was absolutely nothing in the Constitution that was being violated, but people Correct. Would have you believe that. And in this movie, the ACLU comes in, and it's a fictitious story, but at the end of the movie, they run, like, in the credits, they must
Several
give you,
cases.
Like, something like anywhere between 20 to 30 real cases that are going on. Some of them I had heard of and had studied. These are the ages that we live in where our faith is under assault. Lee Strobel, the Christian apologist, was in there as a character. They brought him in to verify that Jesus was a story. Now, one way where it's different from the first movie is it's got better acting than the first movie did. So, some of the actors were good in the first movie. The first movie had more information, though. The first movie had a college student arguing with his philosophy professor, or actually it was his science professor, and he brought in a lot of scientific data. But in this movie, they mention that Jesus is a credible historical figure, but they don't actually quote any sources. And I would have liked to have seen some of that. However, the story was wonderful. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel and Dana Siegel. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's latest novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel and Dana Siegel.
Yeah, we just wanted to finish up. We were talking about God is Not Dead, Part 2, and we just wanted to give our listeners a little tip that make sure you stay in the theater till the very end, watch the credits, because after the credits are all done, there's one more part to the movie you will want to see. It's really important.
That was something that movies used to do when the Muppet movie, the original, very first Muppet movie came out. At the very end of the credits, Animal is still there and he shouts out the audience, go home! And then Ferris Bueller. I love the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It was a comedy and yet it was also very serious without getting on the soapbox. Brilliant, hilarious movie. And of course, Matthew Broderick as Ferris Bueller eliminates the third wall and he's talking to the audience throughout the movie. And at the end of the credits, Ferris Bueller's standing there and he looks out at the camera and he's staring at you through the movie screen. He's going, you're still here? The movie's over. Go home. And then he walks away and he turns around again, waves his hand. He goes, go. I had a friend who loved that movie, had seen it for years. We were watching it together on video one time. And he got up when they got into the credits. I said, we haven't seen the end. He said, what end? All those years, he had never known that Ferris Bueller ended that way. Well, this movie doesn't end as comedically.
No,
as
it's Ferris not Bueller, it's not a funny ending.
But it's similar in the sense that it was just funny because we sat there and Dana likes to sit through the credits. I got to give Dana the credit, no pun intended, for this because I got right after I got up and I said, are we ready to go? Every person in the theater had left but us. And she still sat there, and all of a sudden it came back on. And what an experience to be the only two people
strange,
in a theater to see the movie.
But it was such an important piece, and I felt so badly.
Yeah,
that all
so
those
we're
guys
tipping.
It.
We're tipping you off. So here's your tips from Dana and Bob
Stay
this week.
To the end.
You're not going to win that beach house, but go ahead and play the Monopoly game at Albertsons anyway. And
yes.
When you and I believe it's playing here in town. It's over at Parkway Plaza.
Quite a few places, yeah.
Yeah, that's where we saw it, Parkway Plaza. But you want to see that. Even if you didn't think the acting was great in the first one, it's better in this one. And then, Dana, one last thing that you wanted to do is you have a very special event coming up.
I do. I wanted to take a minute to talk about our healing retreat for women that have experienced abortion. We have our second retreat coming up. We call it From Grief to Gladness because when you have an abortion in your past, it comes with a lot of grief and sadness and guilt and condemnation. And it's just a very difficult burden to carry. And women often carry it alone and in silence. It's definitely not something that comes up in conversations with girlfriends or, you know, out at a lunch. It's a very private, just a very secretive thing. And that's a part of what makes it so difficult to move on. And our church, Skyline Church, has been sponsoring women's Bible studies for the last 3 years. And now we have the retreat as well. We had our first retreat last year at Pine Valley Bible Conference Camp, and they were so gracious. They were wonderful and hosted us. Their board actually sponsored our first camp, and we were so gracious for that, grateful for that. And now we have another one coming up this year. We have room for up to 27 women. We have our own dorms. We have our own private meeting hall. It is very private. And you can be guaranteed that if you are a woman that has experienced abortion and you have never gone through the process of dealing with that or processing it, I would very much encourage you to come to this weekend retreat. You will not be alone there. All of the women, including the entire leadership team, our worship leader, myself, all of the women that come to support this weekend, all have experienced abortion. And the leadership team knows how incredible God is in his restoration, his healing, his forgiveness. And we want to help women be able to get to a place where they can move forward in their lives and put this in the past and let God really forgive them and move them on. It is June 17th through the 19th, so we're about 7 weeks away. So this is the first time we wanted to mention it, June 17th through the 18th at Pine Valley Bible Camp, again in a private, separate meeting lodge and private dorms for us. The cost is $130. That includes all six meals. They're lovely. Pine Valley has amazing food. Their kitchen just prepares amazing meals. That's your housing and all of the things for the weekend. There are many special gifts and things that you will receive throughout the weekend. But more importantly than anything you will receive there is that you will receive God's forgiveness and his healing, and you will be able to really see what he has for you and how much he loves you. So women, if you have an abortion in your past, I would very much encourage you to consider doing this. There will be information on Bob's website. You can go first to that location, and then from there, he'll direct you to me, and we'll help you get everything taken care of that you need to. So please consider it. I know that there are many men listening that have participated in abortions, and we are hoping and praying for something that will be specifically for men someday. But for now, this is for women only.
For women only, which means even though you can find information on my website, I won't be there. You won't have to see me.
It'll be all women.
It'll be a very safe environment. And just to reiterate this again, a lot of times people that take a pro-life position are accused of wanting to put people on guilt trips. And that is not what this is about. Although this is a retreat that does not condone abortion, the purpose is forgiveness and healing, because people carry this with them their whole lives. And Dana mentioned the cost, but nobody's making money off of this. This is just to pay for the cost of it. And if people couldn't afford it, would there be something that could be worked
Let
out?
Let us know.
Let us know.
We have some private donors that we're working with that are supporting women that are unable
and
to
Dana,
pay for the whole
Dana
thing.
Dana does a phenomenal job, even though this is a women's only retreat. At a co-ed retreat, she did a brief seminar one time, and I was there and I got to hear her. And I know I'm her husband, so obviously there's a bias. But I had her on here talking about these seminars before we were even married. So
yes, you did. Yes, and you've been very supportive.
She does a wonderful, phenomenal job. When you're around Dana, you can probably tell this just by hearing her voice on the radio, but people find Dana a warm, inviting presence and disarming. And she just puts out this aura that this is a safe place for you. I've listened to the women who've gone on this talk about what a wonderful experience it is for them. And one of the reasons we announced it early, you said it was how many weeks away?
Seven weeks away from now. So we wanted to let women be aware of it. We'll keep talking about it. But besides just reminding women that it's coming, we will have a special show coming up in a few weeks where I will share much more extensively about abortion and how it impacts us and what God wants to do for us.
Exactly. But we're announcing it early because we know some of you that have had abortions and you're having guilt. It's going to take you 7 or 8 weeks to just give yourself the courage to come. So,
well, and Satan's going to work on you and try to keep you away. So we are praying against him.
Satan in the Bible is known as the accuser, and we don't recognize his voice because there's a way he can have access to our thoughts. But God is not accusing you. If you feel a voice inside saying God doesn't want anything to do with you because you had an abortion, that is not God talking to you.
No, it is not.
God loves you. He accepts you as you are. He wants to heal you. Okay, we'll be right back. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Welcome back to your program. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. If you'd like to weigh in on any of the things we've talked about today, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Now, concerning the online column version of my Monopoly satire that you heard earlier in the show, Lisa, Teddy, Wayne, Mike, among others, in the tradition of Albertson's Monopoly game, among others liked it. Pastor Jim Garlow of Skyline Church writes, very creative, wow, loved it. Well, thank you, Pastor Garlow. I respect you so much. I'm very honored for that. Now, switching gears a little bit, this is something that's been all over the news, and it's not a pleasant subject, but it's unavoidable, and you're probably pretty confident that I was going to talk about it. I got this story from KMOV News, St. Louis, Missouri. You've been hearing a lot about what's going on with Target and their new laws about allowing transgendered people to use the bathrooms of the sex that's not really theirs, but they claim it's theirs because they feel like a woman in a man's body or vice versa. Well, anyway, there was somebody that was arrested in 2015 at Target, but his trial's coming right up. In fact, he has a hearing this Monday, tomorrow. So this is interesting. Let me read this from KMOV News, St. Louis, Missouri. Get this. A Missouri man was arrested on April 23rd, 2015, after allegedly secretly filming women in a Target dressing room. Matthew Forstell, 26, faces felony charges for invasion of privacy in the second degree and unlawful possession of a firearm. Forstell has a plea hearing on Monday, May 2nd, 2016. The Brentwood Police Department arrested Forstell on April 23rd after he allegedly held a camera phone under a dressing room door while a female shopper tried on swimsuits at the Target store in Brentwood. Okay, that's the first chunk of that news story. So let me just think out loud here. Let me see if I'm getting this straight. A man gets arrested for invading women's privacy in a Target dressing room. But if some other man went into the women's dressing room or the women's bathroom at a Target and claimed he was not really a man, but he felt like he was a woman, he could get away with it? Has our entire nation gone insane? No, it's gone beyond Target. Ladies and gentlemen, you can protest. I know many people are boycotting Target. This is going to be settled by the courts. Target could rescind that tomorrow to get their customers back. We're eventually going to have courts just ordering stores and all public institutions all over the country what to do. We don't really live in a democracy anymore. We don't really live in a country where boycotting anything makes any difference anymore. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't protest. I'm just saying it goes beyond Target. In fact, we brought this up for years on this program back in 2013, and now we're not talking about stores. We're talking about our public schools. In 2013, Democratic Governor Jerry Brown signed Bill AB 1266, a new law making California the first state to protect the special rights of transgender K through 12 students. K through 12, of course, means kindergarten through 12. Now, I did talk about this on the radio back when this came out. The law remains in the books. Some people tried to challenge it unsuccessfully. The implementation has been slow. So maybe it hasn't been happening at your school, but it's coming soon to a public school near you. We need to examine this law because it is the law. Students are now allowed to use any restroom or locker room they prefer. They can also play any sport, even those designated as girls or boys sports. Back when this first passed, Elizabeth Gill, staff attorney for the California affiliates of the American Civil Liberties Union, said, and I quote, "Public schools have tremendous power and responsibility to protect students from bullying and harassment." That's how they always do this. They talk about bullying. They use words like bullying. They use words like harassment. They use words like tolerance. They use words like sensitivity. They use these words without defining them. But anyway, she said, "We need to protect students from bullying and harassment. Better school procedures and policies to prevent and address bullying will make a safer environment for students who are suffering and can save lives." Okay, well, everybody wants to save lives. Nobody wants to see a student suffer. Nobody wants to see them bullying. But are we, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, are we really supposed to believe that this is about bullying instead of some liberal agenda to eradicate traditional family values? If bullying is really the true concern, why not just pass a rule in school against bullying transgenders? Or better yet, why not just remind students that their schools already have rules against bullying anybody? Is there one public school in California or in the country that doesn't have rules against bullying? Now, don't get me wrong. Transgenders have a right to be free from intimidation. Of course they do. Of course they do. Unfortunately, in Sacramento's haste to affirm additional rights to transgendered students, the rights of many others have been ignored. It goes beyond the obvious objection of girls who are uncomfortable when there is a boy in the bathroom. We also have the rights of parents to consider. They should not have to send their children to a school that's going to violate their own moral or religious beliefs. And what about the rights of teachers who just want to teach, who feel that their ability to be sensible role models is being stifled by this unfathomable nonsense? Although some children genuinely struggle with their sexual identity, child education is based upon the assumption that kids need guidance from adults. How can a teacher talk about guidance with a straight face when some kindergarten girl says she feels like she's a boy and the teacher is instructed by law to immediately accept that situation without question? By the way, this law in Target, this law in the schools, it doesn't mean that the person has to have a dress on if it's a man saying he's a woman. And it doesn't even mean they have to be consistent. Somebody could say, "I feel like a girl today, and tomorrow I might feel like a boy again." They don't have any guidelines for discernment with this. And the new law can be even trickier with older kids, particularly adolescents. I mean, who are we kidding? Are adults expected to turn the other way when some clever male teen figures out that political correctness comes with a free ticket into the girls' locker room? Come on! Are we supposed to ignore the possibility of dishonest motives by rolling over and playing dead? Instead, why not offer a bit of logic? Let's gently, compassionately suggest to our children that they should not be so quick to ignore their physiology when determining gender.
Check out this reader's comment about Bob Siegel's book, "I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But..." "Mr. Siegel's book was like no other I've ever read on the subject. He does not attack the skeptic for his views. He respects the belief of his readers. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's ever had questions or confusion about Christianity." And here's another reader's comment. "I come from a Muslim, atheist background, but it still carried weight with me. I normally pass books on to friends when done reading them. This one, I'm holding on to for a while. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But..." Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. We've been talking about this whole Target thing, and I mentioned that it's beyond Target, that that's already the law in our universities, and there was a court ruling just recently out on the East Coast that overturned some state laws about this. It's soon not going to matter. And at our schools right now, if somebody did express confusion about their gender identity, shouldn't teachers be able to offer some guidance and maybe take them to a psychologist? Although I must say, another whole subject here, psychology and psychologists are being pressured to embrace this as well. Just read some of the APA guidelines. So, but back to our schools for a moment. It might not hurt to bring God back into the conversation either, perhaps reaping what we sowed long ago when God was kicked out of our schools. Of course, the moment teachers dare to remind students that God decided their gender for them by creating both male and female, the school will be visited by the ACLU faster than greased lightning. Welcome to the 21st century. Discussions about God do not belong in the public school. Children deciding for themselves what sex they are does belong in the public school. Once again, we're forced to recall these words, and they were talking about the biblical God here. The first effect of not believing in God is to believe anything. 1-888-344-1170. Tim, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Hey, Bob, I finally got a chance to call in.
Hey, good to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. So I'm gonna pick a bone with you here, just a little bit.
I'm not surprised at that, Tim, but we always seem to talk in a respectful way, so go right ahead.
Absolutely. Okay, so you said something that and this is what drives me crazy, and I'm the fierce, moderate, pragmatic guy, right? And so you said about the Target case with a man who is not transgendered, who was videotaping a woman in a dressing room as she was obviously in undress. And then you said, but if he had claimed to be transgendered, then it would have been okay.
Well, no, and if you read some of the comments that we were talking about on Facebook, I know where we first got into, I'm not claiming that a transgender could go in there with a video camera. So the video camera was a crime. So if that's where you're going with this, we agreed that the video camera made it different. But the discomfort of a male going in, if somebody wanted to get his jollies without the video camera, all he would have to do is claim he was transgendered. And that has already happened at Targets. Men that walked in without a dress, and then somebody goes and complains to the manager, and then the manager explains to the woman, well, he had a right to do it because he felt like he was a woman. That's already happened.
Now the guy who was doing it as a test case.
What's that?
He was testing the rules, specifically went and tested. Specifically didn't dress up as a woman and specifically was testing to see what would happen.
Well, that may be, but whether he tested it or not, whatever his motive happened to be, that is still how the Target manager responded.
Right. And you know, I think this issue is getting way more bandwidth than it should be getting. I don't think this, and this is a point I've been making for a long time, and that is, you know, you and me and your wife and my wife, we've all probably shared bathrooms and other places with people of the opposite sex without knowing it, especially here in Southern California.
Well, when you say that, Tim, you're articulating something very similar to how the Marines and the Navy tried to deal with the gay issue when they had don't ask, don't tell. But as you know, they don't do don't ask, don't tell anymore. And, you know, that's probably true. If there was a transgender or a transvestite and it was a man that really made himself look like a woman or vice versa, we probably didn't know. And then there was no discomfort. But somebody could go in looking like a man or woman, looking like that and claiming not to be. And that's the part that I don't think you're latching on to here. I think that makes it more serious because then we're not taking the rights of other people into account. If this is really about people not feeling uncomfortable and feeling free. Also, Targets, and I go to Target all the time, they have male, they have female, and then they have one that's called unisex. So nobody's saying that anybody isn't allowed to use the bathroom. Why is this something that people are so much needing to bring into the limelight? Obviously, there's an agenda here. I don't mean every individual transsexual, but there's people behind with an agenda.
I think both sides have an agenda here.
Okay, what do you think my agenda is?
What
do you think concerns me?
I think what concerns you is that in the existence of transsexuals that have always been there are going to be more accepted.
No, but, well, that could be part of it. What concerns me, Tim, is that not just with this issue, but with same-sex marriage, with a lot of issues going on in our country right now, we could even talk about redistribution of wealth. We could talk about a lot of issues. There is a frog that's being boiled slowly, and our rights are being incrementally taken away from us. The biggest concern that I have, Tim, is one of freedom of speech. Our freedom of speech, there are people who, under the guise of hate speech legislation, we've already passed hate crime bills, and nobody believes in hate. There are people that want to pass hate speech legislation, and that's already going on in Europe. That's going on in countries like England, Ireland. There are countries already where if somebody speaks against Islam, if somebody speaks against same-sex marriage, there are people that have already gotten arrested. And there are people in America that want to see those same things happen, and it is starting to happen. There are already lawsuits that have been done against churches. We already had a bunch of churches in Texas when they started speaking against transgender laws in Texas. All of a sudden, the mayor ordered every pastor in the city to start coming and showing their sermons and getting them approved by the state. Now, a court overturned that, but that's pretty chilling that some mayor even had the... And so, if somebody happens to be transgender or happens to believe in same-sex marriage, I don't agree with them. But I don't have any animosity toward them. I don't have any hatred toward them. I just want the ability to share my opinion, too. And for all we're hearing about tolerance, I don't see a lot of tolerance for the conservative position. I'm going to let you respond to that. And then I actually want to bring up something with you, because I know you call yourself a moderate, and I know you say that very sincerely. Moderate's another nice sounding word, but I want to say something about moderates. But go ahead and respond to what I was saying first.
Look, when it comes to people, and I agree, there's a growing trend about trying to stifle others who disagree on issues. And I agree with you. And the minute there's any attempt to have laws to stifle free speech, I'm going to stand side by side, even if I disagree with the speech being spoken. I agree. I do think there is too much emphasis on trying to silence people. And we see that, in my opinion, I think we see that with a lot of the anti-Trump protesters.
Oh, absolutely. People say this is democracy in action, but I'm not a Trump fan, by the way, but it just boils my oil. So I think we're on the same page, Tim. If you agree that freedom of speech should not be said, my friend, that is what concerns me more than anything else. Now, I'm also concerned about the rights of some little girl feeling uncomfortable if a man walks in the bathroom, the rights of a teacher to have freedom of speech, or a psychologist to have freedom of speech if they believe this is a disorder without having somebody tell them they could lose their license. It's not as bad yet in America as it is in Europe, but it's getting to the point where and it's not just the transgender, to speak against same-sex marriage or anything that's gay, lesbian, transgender. And if a church says we love the transgender community, we want to share the love of Christ with them, maybe they don't believe in Christ, but to be accused of hate speech for that, that's what concerns me, my friend.
No, and I agree that there's a lot of vitriol being spewed in there. So I'm with you on that.
Okay, let me just leave you with this, and if you'd like to call in next week and talk about it, Tim, I would consider myself a moderate too, but moderate keeps changing. Somebody in the 60s, if he called himself a moderate, didn't accept transgenders, didn't accept gay marriage. I don't know what you personally accept, but what I'm saying is
they didn't
people
accept blacks either.
Well, okay, but that comparison is a comparison that I think we can challenge, because black civil rights activists actually hate that comparison. We'll talk more about this next time, but here's my point. The conservatives aren't moving anywhere. As the left moves more and more to the left, for a moderate to move evenly between the conservatives and the right, moderate people have to move to the left as well. Just something to think about. Call me back again, my friend.
You got it.
Okay. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.